Okay, let's go ahead and get started now. The first thing I'd like to do is find out what your present level of hypnosis knowledge is. Some of you taking this course may be brand new to hypnosis, and others may be existing hypnosis practitioners just wanting to upgrade your knowledge. Either way, I'd like you to take a moment now to open your manuals to page 18 and to complete the hypnosis pretest you'll find there. Don't worry, it's only 13 true and false questions, and it's not important whether you pass or fail. Actually, it's not a pass or fail thing at all. The purpose of the test is just to find out what your belief system is right now about hypnosis, because the test is based on the main misconceptions that people have about hypnosis today. So go ahead right now, and I'd like you to pause this audio and take your test. By the way, if you haven't downloaded your manual yet, there's a link to the manual in this letter. So just go to that link, click on it, and your manual will open up in a PDF format. And again, just go to page 18 and take the test. Once you've taken it, please come back here. Don't correct the answers. Don't do any research in the book. Write down what your first impression is of the answer, and we'll correct it together. So go ahead and pause this audio now. Welcome back. Let's take a few moments to see how you did on the tests. Now remember, whether you got most of them right or none of them right, it doesn't really matter. This is just to find out what your thinking is or where your thought process is in hypnosis right now. It'll be interesting if you wanted to take the test after the course also to see your difference, the difference in thought that you have then. So let's go ahead and look at the test. Question number one. Anyone of reasonable intelligence can be hypnotized. Of course, that's true. The only ones that can't be hypnotized are people that basically don't understand the language or who are resisting you. Number two, only weak-minded people can be hypnotized. That's false. Doesn't matter whether you have a weak mind or a strong mind. Number three, you can stop smoking with hypnosis. That's true. You can stop smoking, you can pretty much help just about any problem you might have. Anything you can do better with hypnosis. Number four, the hypnotist controls your mind. Now that's one of the bigger misconceptions that people have, and of course the answer is false. The hypnotist does not control your mind. The hypnotist is simply given the instructions. The person being hypnotized is the one that's in control at all times. Number five, you are asleep in hypnosis. That's false. A lot of people think you're asleep in hypnosis because we use the word sleep quite often in hypnosis, but it's not asleep, it's just open to suggestion. Number six, you can make people do things in hypnosis. Now, I'm sure some of you put true on that one, but the answer is false. You cannot make anyone do anything against their nature or their personal will. The reason people think that we can make people do things in hypnosis is they've probably seen comedy hypnosis shows where you're having someone act like a chicken or act like a dog. Now, these people are volunteering to come up on stage. They probably have a very comical nature anyways, and they're the most suggestible. But even them, on occasion, when you ask them to do something like that, they'll open their eyes and say, no, I don't want to do it. They're doing these things because they want to do them. So if you were asked to rob a bank, you wouldn't rob it unless you wanted to. And if you did, you wouldn't give me the money, okay? So number seven, you can get stuck in hypnosis. That's false. You cannot get stuck in hypnosis. There's never been a terminal case of hypnosis in the emergency room that I know of. Number eight, strong-minded people are not good subjects. Actually, it doesn't matter. So the answer for that is false. Whether you're strong-minded, weak-minded, it doesn't matter at all. Number nine, military people are easy to hypnotize. The answer for that is true. If you look at what they call occupational susceptibility, students are probably the easiest. Anyone, you know, in the education establishment from very young to college age because they used to taking in instructions, and military makes a close second. Why? Because they used to following instructions. Number 10, only about 40% of society can be hypnotized. That's false. People go into hypnosis virtually every day, so just about everyone in society can be hypnotized. Number 11, hypnosis is like a truth serum. Answer for that is false. I'm sorry about that. You cannot use this on your spouses to find the truth. Hypnosis is actually just the opposite. In hypnosis, all your senses are enhanced about 15%, a minimum of 15%. Therefore, if you wanted to lie, you can actually be a better liar. Number 12, you must be deeply relaxed to be hypnotized. Now, there's an interesting one. The answer is false. While relaxation is a big part of some forms of hypnosis, it is not a prerequisite to be hypnotized. And number 13, all hypnotists must have a strong mind. That's not true either. I'm sure there's a lot of hypnotists out there that have so-so minds. Some have strong minds and some might even have weak minds. So look back at your questions here and find out how you did. If you got all 13 right, you're doing great. You're probably an experienced hypnotherapist already. If you just got a few right, don't worry about it. These are all the things that we're going to be learning in the upcoming lessons. So congratulations on however you did, and let's go ahead and learn about hypnosis. First, we're going to start out by learning about what is hypnosis. You know, there's many definitions of what hypnosis is. Hypnosis is simply being open to suggestion. That covers pretty much all of them. You're in hypnosis most of your day. In fact, you're probably in hypnosis most likely right now if you're accepting what I'm saying. That's right, if you're accepting what I'm saying to you right now, you're open to suggestion. That being the definition of hypnosis, you're actually being hypnotized. Now here's an interesting point. Even if you are rejecting my suggestions right now, even if you're not listening and you're trying to fight them, the act of rejecting them, okay, would be kind of giving yourself a counter suggestion. You would be thinking something opposite of it. So a counter suggestion is still a suggestion, so you'd still be in hypnosis. Another definition of hypnosis that would be just as accurate as being open to suggestion is that hypnosis is also known as imagination. Whenever I speak of hypnosis being imagination, I always get quite a few reactions. You can see the eyebrows going up in class. Can it be that simple? I use my imagination all the time. Does that mean I'm always in hypnosis? These are some of the questions I get. I think you'll find that looking at it as imagination will help you to understand it a great deal more. Let's use the example of running a marathon. If you can imagine yourself running the marathon, then chances are you'll be able to do it. If you cannot imagine yourself running the marathon because you have a difficult time running to the mailbox in the morning, then probably it wouldn't be possible for you to attain. When you are imagining yourself doing something, you are open to suggestion. You've got to realize that there's a difference between imagination and visualization. Not everyone is good at visualizing things, but everyone can imagine. You see, being visual is one of your five senses, just like smelling, tasting, hearing. Being visual, usually it's something that you're seeing something that you have accomplished, where imagination is open to anything. It doesn't have to be something that you've done before. A good example would be to imagine that I were holding a ripe yellow lemon directly in front of you. That should be pretty easy to imagine. You may imagine it differently than I do, however, but you'd probably have the basic shape, color, and even the smell in your mind. Now, if you were to imagine right now that I were cutting the lemon in half and the juices were spurting out all over my hand, all over the table, and you just see it dripping down, your mouth might even be feeling like it was going to water. It might even be watering right now. The more you imagine me cutting this lemon and the juice is coming out, the more it would be affecting you. Why would someone's mouth be watering while I describe cutting a lemon in half? According to the definition, it's because they would be in hypnosis. Now you can see how suggestibility, imagination, and hypnosis are one and the same. The main thing I want you to understand from this lesson is that hypnosis is so much more than you may have imagined. It encompasses anything having to do with suggestibility or imagination. It is clinical and metaphysical. It is not just that stereotype that seems to have been put around it about this mysterious type of trance when the subject is under control of a secretive power delivered by the hypnotist. In fact, that's one of the major misconceptions of hypnosis. If you think about these two definitions I've just mentioned about hypnosis, you can see that it is more of an umbrella term rather than a specific function. It is the basis or catalyst of many different modalities such as meditation, guided imagery, yoga, EFT, acupuncture, acupressure, working with crystals, tuning forks or magnets, energy healing, divine healing, quantum touch, reflexology, Reiki, and the list goes on. They're all based on hypnosis. Think about it for a moment. If you cannot imagine yourself healing or being healthy, then you probably will not heal. In addition to all these modalities that we've spoken of, probably the most well-known one where hypnosis is shockingly prevalent is the field of modern medicine, especially in the use of pharmaceuticals, which is probably more than, I'd say, a third of the placebo methods of hypnosis. There's so many ways that we fall under hypnotic conditioning on a daily basis. As I mention different ones, I'd like you to think about them and see how many you may have been affected by just within the last few days. So here's some of them. Seeing signs, advertising, logos, marketing, gimmicks, all these different things that you see everywhere on the street, pretty much every direction you look in, there's some kind of a logo. You're continually being bombarded with suggestions to act now on television, to purchase things, radio, junk mail, newspapers, store windows, magazines, department stores, supermarkets, just to name a few. There is virtually no place where you can look, where you can go, that you're not in contact with some form of advertising suggestion. Some stores even have demonstrators demonstrating their product and giving it out free to tempt you with these samples. There's the scent of freshly baked breads, muffins, pies being prepared in the bakery. There's attractive signage and inviting music in the background. Sales displays all over of easy to prepare meals, and they're all placed at eye level. Think of how many times you went to the grocery store to buy 4 products but came back with 15. That's due to the suggestibility. Daydreaming in classroom or at work even. Daydreaming is a hypnotic state that is much deeper than most people would realize. It's actually the same level of hypnotic suggestibility that you would be in for painless childbirth or to have dental work done on you without anesthesia. The daydreaming state is dominated by your imagination and is accompanied by a state of amnesia. This is why when you daydream in a class, most of the time you won't remember what's been happening or what was said, and you may even have a feeling of lost time. Fear of deadlines or loss. You may have heard the slogan before that fear is a great motivator. Fear is also a powerful tool utilized in the acceptance of suggestions. It is how many suggestions are, I guess you could say, attached to you. It's a way of making them so much stronger. In every walk of life it's used, such as sales, government, family, school, work, and countless other areas. Things like Call now, we only have two left, or the sale ends tomorrow. There's a fear of loss. Keep the noise down in the room or you'll be punished. Another fear. You need to meet the deadline at 12 o'clock or you're fired. Buy the best security system on your home or you'll be broken into. Here's one you must have all heard. Call your doctor. Call right now before something happens to you. The process of adding fear, punishment, or loss in the act of any training or conditioning, this act of coercion is the basis of what is known as brainwashing as well. That's the key to brainwashing. Music is extremely hypnotic. The effect of music can cause you to become very relaxed one moment and very agitated the next. Both are favorable for accepting suggestions without resistance. You'll see a huge difference between the behavior and attitudes of people who frequently listen to classical music and compared to those who listen to more aggressive music that we have available today. The same can be said for the difference between the children whose parents allow them to watch G-rated Disney cartoons in comparison to the violent and destructive type cartoons. Propaganda. This is the old mine is better than yours mentality. Propaganda is a strong form of suggestion that is used continually in the areas of employment, sales, government, education, sports, and even sexual preference. Oftentimes, these suggestions cause rivalry, fierce competition, and even war. Your company develops the best widgets available on the market. Your football team is superior to any other team. Everyone in your country is wonderful. Everyone in the neighboring country are terrorists. This company will save me hundreds of dollars over that company. After all, I heard it on television. All propaganda. Reading is magic. Reading stories with suggestive messages, such as telling a story, which I mentioned earlier, is also very suggestive to the reader. In fact, reading anything from magazines, newspapers, web pages, even my hypnosis book, virtually anything you read has been written for the purpose of soliciting some form of suggestion or desired response. You know, it's important to note that if you are reading a story to a child as a means of giving them a positive suggestion for change, keep in mind that unless you are actively resisting the suggestion you're reading, you are being conditioned as well. All suggestions are self-suggestions, just as all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. Writing. Virtually any self-hypnosis course or program will encourage you to write down your goals on paper. Writing something down will give you a fairly complete concept of what you want. The act of writing or forming the letters as you write ingrains the suggestions even more within your mind. In schools, since the beginning of education, students were made to write things down on the board repetitiously in order to get them to remember or learn a lesson. I remember when I was in school, that was even done as punishment. I will not talk in class. You'd have to write about 500 times on a board if you got caught talking in class. Writing has a way of imprinting suggestions in your mind more than reading, typing, or even recording. If you write it clearly, you can imagine it. So just as a result of these different ways that you go in hypnosis, how many have affected you within the last couple days? There's many more. This is just a few of them. Just to show you that people are in hypnosis the majority of the day and don't realize it. You're receiving suggestion from virtually every direction you look in. Unless you are actually taking control and resisting the suggestions, canceling them out, you're being hypnotized. This is the end of lesson one. Be sure to look at your assignments. Have a great day.